The scripture comes from Psalms 4:1-3. Answer me when I call to you, my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long will you people turn your glory into shame? How long will you love delusions and seek false gods? Know that the Lord has set apart a faithful servant for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Let us be hearers and doers of the Lord's word. Amen.
Heavenly sunlight. Walking in sunlight all of my journey over the mountain through the deep veil. Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee. Promise divine that never can fail. Oh, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises. Jesus is mine. In the bright sunlight, ever rejoicing, pressing my way to mansions above, singing his praises. Gladly I'm walking, walking in sunlight, sunlight of love. Oh, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine.
Amen. Lamentations chapter 1, verse 20. See, Lord, how distressed I am. I am in torment within, and in my heart I am disturbed, for I have been most rebellious outside. The sword bereaves, inside there's only death. Amen. You may be seated. Good morning, good morning. Good morning. Lovely day it is outside, nice fall weather. God has blessed us with. And I want to say that whether you're a member of this Franklin family or a visitor this morning, or even a virtual guest, I'm grateful that you're here with us today and grateful that God has granted us another opportunity together for worship, praise, and fellowship among those who would be the saints of God. It's good to see those who've been traveling that are back and some have left as well to do certain things, and we ask that they would have Godspeed as well and be returned to us in a safe manner. Now shortly I'm with my Bible to Psalm chapter 12 and 13. That's Psalms chapter 12 and 13. And my invitation is for you to join me there as we look at these verses for today's lesson, the lesson, Lost Connection. Lost Connection. I want to tell you, I don't know about you, but being disconnected is heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. We don't like that, and it's frustrating when we're making a phone call, isn't it? And even more so, if you've become disconnected in a significant life relationship, it's pretty heartbreaking. The recognizable phrase that we used to is the phrase that says to be out of touch, like politicians are out of touch until it's time for the... good morning to you. Like senior citizens with technology, they're out of touch with that, or they're out of touch with the younger generation. Parents sometimes feel out of touch with their children, no matter if you're 6 or 60, 17 or 70. Sometimes parents and children, they fall out of touch with each other. They lose their connection. And children hopelessly as well, they get out of touch with their parents, some willingly, and some children are just pushed away. But I think for all intents and purposes, for this environment that we are in, that we will be concerned if it's ever true that we are disconnected or out of touch with God. That's pretty concerning, at least in my mind, to whether you would realize that you are disconnected or out of touch with the true and living God. And I think that it would be a very real concern for everyone in this audience today. You see, it's disconcerting to believe that you're out of touch with God. It's something that you just don't want to believe. You just can't come to grips with. It's disconcerting to believe that your prayers only rise in the air and then evaporate. It's disconcerting to feel that worship has little significance at all. And in life also, you're really disconnected from its meaning. Your life seems to be just meaningless. It's all like being whole on the outside, but with a soul that's lacking fellowship with God on the inside, and you're just empty. You know, I remember around Easter time, and growing up as a little boy, we used to get those chocolate rabbits, and they used to be solid. Remember that? But after a time, you got tricked. You went for your rabbit, and you broke his ear off, and it was hollow. It was nice and solid on the outside. But on the inside, that's how we feel sometimes when we're just disconnected from the meaning of life, lacking fellowship with God. Now, since we know how important it is to be totally connected with God, I want to ask you this question this morning. Have you ever felt that lost connection? Have you ever felt that you had lost connection with God? Now, I'm sure that nobody wants to admit that or even acknowledge that, but it's probable that we all have. But we feel that if we come clean and admit that, somebody might think, well, what's wrong with you? Why are you feeling that way? And yet honesty would compel most of us, if you walk with God for a very long time, honesty would compel most of us to admit that we have felt that way on occasion. Am I right? Am I right? Sure, I'm right. We've all felt like that. Some of them even felt, and sometimes, that they're not even going to heaven because they felt that they were disconnected from God. Even though they were doing the things that they needed to do for God, in their own minds, they were just disconnected from God, and they were in their feelings. Well, Psalms chapter 13 gives us some help for that. But before we go to Psalms chapter 13, chapter 12 gives us a little bit of background. Because in this chapter, David feels alone. He feels very, very alone. He feels like he's surrounded by people who are disingenuous. You ever felt like that? He feels like he's around people who are disloyal and people who put him in circumstances that are unfair. He's around people who just don't care about him. They pretend to, but the reality is that they just don't care about him. You got your Bibles? Psalm 12, 1 and 2. Help, Lord, for no one is faithful anymore. Those who are loyal have vanished from the human race. Everyone lies to their neighbor. They flatter with their lips, but harbor deception in their hearts. Psalm 12, 1 and 2 is a scathing rebuke. And from that scathing rebuke, I would imagine that David doesn't feel good about life as it stands right now at all. And that leads him to pen Psalm 13. Chapter 13, verses 1 through 6. It's real short. We're going to read it together in our hearing this morning. Psalm 13, 1 through 6. Listen to God. David says, how long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say I overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise for he has been good to me. You know, in this song, it's interesting that David talks in three different measures in this song. It is a song. And in verses 1 and 2, he feels abandoned. And so 4 times in 5 questions, he will say, "How long, O God? How long is this going to go on?" In this prolonged struggle, the question is, where are you, God? Where are you right now? Where are you while I'm enduring all of this? Then secondly, there's a prayer. God, consider me. God, hear me. God, enlighten me. God, I need you to be involved in my life because I feel like I've got a lost connection. Where are you? Where are you, God? The connection seems lost. I am disconnected. So will you ever answer me, my Lord? You ever felt like that before? You ever felt just disconnected from God? And thirdly, he ends with this. I trust in you. I rejoice in your salvation. I sing my praises to you, O God. You know, this song is really interesting. It begins with feeling abandoned. It's followed by prayer and petition, and then there is a reconnection filled with trust. There's a reconnection with God filled with joy and heartfelt praise as he bursts out in song. Can you imagine being reconnected with God? So he prays and he petitions and he sings and he's filled with joy, knowing full well that God is his rescuer. Is that ever you? Do you ever feel disconnected from God? Again, I think honesty would compel all of us to say, well, sometimes I feel really close to God and the relationship is really great. But sometimes, as you know, long-term relationships, they're pretty hard to manage. Long-term relationships are something that I just can't seem to get a hold of. Sometimes I feel really close, and sometimes the relationship is great, but he lives too far away, or she lives too far away for me to maintain that relationship. If you've ever been there, I know you have. If you haven't, one day you will. So in the meantime, let these thoughts become fuel for you on your journey. Here's number one. Emotions are not always reality. They're not. We're talking about lost connection this morning. Amen. I want you to know that emotions are not always reality. Let's just get that out of the way right now. What I mean is that on the one hand, you can feel completely disconnected from God when the reality may be something different. Sometimes we feel disconnected, and that's probably not the case. And you say, I don't feel like I'm a good enough Christian. Well, I can appreciate that sentiment. I really can. But it doesn't mean that you're not a good enough Christian. And maybe it does. Maybe it does. Maybe you're involved in something that's separating you from God. But again, that's not always the case. In 2 Corinthians 12, Paul prayed prayers that God sometimes answered him. No, he felt disconnected. And sometimes his struggles were prolonged. They just never seemed to end. Listen to Paul's dilemma. 2 Corinthians 4, 8 through 9. We're hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not abandoned. We are struck down, but not destroyed. Imagine those things happening to you and you feeling as if God is still in your life. Listen to what Paul said. He says, we're hard pressed on every side. I can't take it anymore, Lord. Where are you? I'm not crushed, though. I'm confused. I'm perplexed, but I'm not in despair. I'm persecuted all the time, but I'm not abandoned. I'm struck down, but this whole world just can't seem to destroy me. And in spite of all of that, Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:12, for this reason I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know him whom I have believed and I persuaded that he's able to keep me to what I've committed to him against that day. The point is that those feelings, even though they're honest, your feelings, even though they're honest, and perception is reality, the fact of the matter is that when he thought about that, he knew that the connection with God was still there. He knew that. It may have been a bit strained, but the connection was not lost. It was still there. So emotionally feeling disconnected doesn't equate to the reality of a lost connection. Number two is this. Feeling connected doesn't always mean that you're connected with God. Just because you feel that way, it's important to understand that you can feel completely connected to God and the reality may be something totally different. Let's be honest. That's what people say. You ever heard people say, well, look, let me be totally honest with you, Judge. Were you lying at the beginning? As if your intent was misleading or something. Honestly speaking, the reality is that emotion has become everything in religion. Let me say that again. Honestly speaking, the truth is that emotion has become everything in religion. As long as you feel good about what you're doing, as long as you're having a positive religious experience, whatever that is, we assume that everything is well. As long as you feel good about where you are and what you're doing, God must be pleased with that as well, and he must be pleased with me because I'm feeling good. I want to make this very clear. I'm not going to mix words. I want to make this very clear. Basing our connection with God on the premise of an emotional experience will become a self-fulfilling prophecy. And there's two reasons for that. The one thing is that emotions never challenge you. They don't force you to alter your thinking or to change your behavior. It's a snap judgment. An emotion just allows you to feel something. That's what it does. The second thing is, an emotional experience is just going to validate something. So when someone says, I'm looking for an exciting worship experience today, what that means is that they will interpret their good feeling as validation from God. They're sitting in worship service and they're feeling good, so that's validation from God. And some go through an experience where they feel emotional and they feel good as well, and they interpret that as validation from God. The better, the happier, the more excited you feel about something, the more you are convinced this must be pleasing to God. I feel happy about this, so God must be pleased. I got to tell you, your connection is lost. Because God's criteria is something different than an emotional experience. It's not an emotional ride when you come to worship service. It's heartfelt praise and worship from your soul pouring it out to God. It has nothing to do with an emotional experience. Let's just get that out the way. 1 John 2:3-4 says, now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. We're disconnected. We can say it all we want to. You can feel whatever you want. Your connection to God is lost. We've all picked up the phone and having a real good conversation. All of a sudden, there's static on the line. Anybody ever get that? You see, when you get that static on the line, what does that mean? You've lost the connection. Lost the connection. And if so, how is it that we can feel a lost connection with God? Let me tell you how you can feel that. Because of the breakdown of communication. You see, relationships involve time. They involve commitment and openness. Listen to me, young people. Some of you who don't want to fight for your person that you think you love. Relationships involve time, commitment, and openness. TikTok doesn't give it to you. That's true in a marriage. It's true in a family. It's true in a friendship. And it's certainly true with God. Listen, we can become so distracted that we neither feed our soul or even commune with our God because of distractions. It's like the parable Jesus said of the sower in Luke 8. He says that one of the seeds come along and they're choked by the cares and riches of the world, by the pleasures of life. And because of that, There's no connection, and they bring no fruit to maturity. They never, ever grow. But in that parable, understand one thing. He never, ever says that the connection with God is completely broken. He just says that it inhibits you from making any spiritual progress. Communication breaks us down sometime. And since communication breaks us down sometime, isn't that why God says, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needed not be ashamed, but rightly devise the word of truth. It's because the more we spend time with his word, the closer we ultimately be to God in communication. Isn't that why God said, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. He didn't set it to keep score as to how many times you pray. He didn't say it to even know how long the prayer is. The point is that this two-way communication keeps us connected to God. But it does. Isn't that why God says in Hebrews 10:25, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Some people are in the habit of doing that. But exhort one another as you see the day approaching. He didn't say that because he's interested in a number on the board, how many attended. God knows that it's good for us to be with other Christians, and we know that. And it's good for us to worship him as the ecclesia, which makes the relationship strong and keeps us tied to each other and connected to God. Sometimes sin breaks us down and we lose our connection. Sometimes sin will break us all the way down. And the sad part about that is we don't know we're down. Somebody's got to come along and tell us, look, you're pretty low right now, but we don't want to hear that. Sometimes sin breaks us down. And very seldom does anybody say, depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man. Who says that? We don't want to deal with sin in our lives. We see it in other people's lives, but amen. When was the last time you ever prayed and said, God, I hesitate to come into your presence, for I am sinful. I'm sinful. That's why Christ goes before us. He cleans us up if we ask for forgiveness, and he cleanses us from all of our sins, and we can approach God that way. James 4:7-8, submit yourselves to God. You got to resist the devil, and he's going to flee from you. You got to draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. Reconnecting, drawing near to God is predicated on making sure we don't allow Satan to bring things into our lives that separate us from God. Reconnection with God is what we need. We also need to resist Satan. Reconnection and resistance is what we need. I want to tell you, if you came here today and you're harboring some sinful behavior, no matter what it is, no matter how big or small you think it might be, but if you're harboring some sinful behavior, it might just be a lie. No matter what it is, if you're doing anything that violates the law of God and you're coming to this worship saying, you know, I didn't get much out of worship. You ever hear anybody say that? Man, they come sit down and hear the whole while and the whole while, you ain't getting nothing out of it. But most people say you didn't get anything out of it because you didn't put anything in it. Here's what I say. I say that statement is off a cover for your bad behavior. That's what I say. And we need to check our connection by beginning with ourselves, with our inner man. Because sin breaks us down. It does. And when sin breaks us down, our connection to God is a lost connection. But here's something else for you. Consider this. Sometimes life breaks us. Amen. And people feel ashamed about that. They don't want to talk about their experiences when they're in despair or sad, as if somebody's going to eat their lives away. Everybody goes through the same thing. Every tub stands its own bottom, but we're in the same boat. Amen. Sometimes life breaks us down. When things don't work out the way we think they should, or go the way our prayers were meant to go, I mean, we pray and we pray and we pray, and it still doesn't come out the way we think it should. Or that God ought to work it out to our own life standards. Life breaks us down, and we become angry with God. Life breaks us down, we become disappointed with God. Life breaks us down, and we feel like we're going to lose our connection with God, and we do it ourselves. We feel somehow that God hadn't kept his end of the bargain with us at all. So we strike it on our own to do it ourselves. It's like a prodigal son, isn't it? Strike it on your own to do it yourselves. By the way, that was the background for Psalm 13. In chapter 12, he talks about everybody being fake and treating them badly. You know when people are fake to you, right? I mean, you know, people hardly ever want to give you a smile and do one of these numbers. What in the world is that? I never could understand that. If you don't want to smile at me, don't do it. Amen? Listen, he says everybody was being fake with him and treating him badly, David said in Psalm 13. But that background comes from his dealings with Saul. In 1 Samuel chapter 27, and David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. Verse 20 and verse number 3, chapter 20 and verse number 3. But truly as the Lord lives and as thy soul lives, there is but a step between me and death. Think about that. Think about that. If you're not as close to God as you ought to be, if you're not as close to God as you should be, there is only but a step between me and death, and you don't want to die disconnected. You don't want to do it. That was the background that brings us to Psalm 13. So no wonder we began by speaking of his feeling of abandonment. Where are you, God? How long, oh God? God, will you hear me when I pray to you? Sometimes life breaks us down. When we've got plans that don't agree with God's plans, and God's plans doesn't seem to agree with our plans. We want everything to be our plan A. Remember that sermon? We want everything to be our plan A, but it doesn't always work that way. And it shouldn't be a shock to us that God's ways are not our ways, Isaiah 55, 8, and 9. For your thoughts are not my thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, says the Lord. I'm in heaven, and heaven is higher than the earth, and my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. It shouldn't be a shock to you. And sometimes God's timetable just isn't ours. It isn't our timetable. There's a song that's titled In His Time. And that's a song that's more easily sung than lived. Amen. I mean, let's be honest. We want everything to be on our timeline. There's another song. Remember this song? Teach me, Lord, to wait. Teach me, Lord, to wait down on my knees. Till in your own good time you answer my pleas. Teach me not to rely on what others may do, but to wait in prayer for an answer from you. I got to tell you, what we say and what we sing are very different. Psalm 13 says, how long, O God? It says it's four times in five verses. How many times do you ask God because you just can't wait? Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to just wait for you. And if we can't wait, how long do we bridge that gap? How long do we wait to bridge the gap between us and reconnect with God? How long? How do we close the distance and build our relationship back to God? Let's use the phone analogy one more time. Sometimes when I'm on the phone and the connection is lost, sometimes I only have to go just a few feet, and what happens? Establish that connection. And that's okay. But that's only with the phone service. It's not so with God. Amen? It's not so with God. Distance was never God's desire. 1 inch, 2 inches, 1 yard, 1 mile. Distance was never God's desire. Remember this old adage? If you're not as close to God as you once were, who moved? Who moved? The inherent truth is that we moved. And listen, this is what I want to tell you. Listen to me real good. You can blame everyone else for that because people do it all the time, don't they? You say, oh, my parents just didn't raise me as perfectly as a Christian as it should have been. You can blame me. You can blame the church. You can blame the world that you live in. You can blame the school that you attend. You can blame anyone or anything, but probably you need to look in the mirror first. To look into your own soul and find out why you're disconnected from God. Get closer to that mirror, and if you do, it will shorten the distance between you and God. Look at yourself first. You'll never see God until you get past seeing who you are. Obedience is God's criteria. It's not just feeling, not just emotion. It's not just being excited about something. Again, the most common thought in American religion is that the more happy I am, the more excited, the more emotional I feel, it must be evidence that God is pleased with what I'm doing. God's criteria, of course, is different than that. His criteria is based on love, not feeling. We must keep his commandments. It's based on love, not feeling. Some people think love is a feeling. It's not. It's an action. Don't tell me you love me. Show me that. 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. They don't tie you down. They don't get in your way. Psalm 7, 10 through 11. My defense is of God, who saves the upright in heart. God is a just judge, and God is angry with the wicked every day. He's angry with the wicked every day. It's hard to have a relationship with someone, and all you do all the time is upset them. It's hard all the time. All you do is irritate them or make them angry. God is angry with the wicked every day. Every day. So the Bible says, be holy, for I am holy. Try to live a good and wholesome life, a holy life, to be close to God. But seek ye first the kingdom. Seek it as if it's of value to you. You don't just give God an out on Sunday morning and that's the extent of it. Seek the kingdom. Be conformed to the image of God's dear Son. And if you conform to the image of God's dear Son, God can say, well done, good and faithful servant. This is what I want you to do. I don't know if you ever thought about it, but I want you to accept the fact that our presence brings in God's presence. John 13, 34 through 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The presence of God in me brings about the presence of God to you. We've got to present God to people. We've got to do that. You know, in worship, our presence brings about God's presence as well, because God is present with us even right now. God is in this house. So when you bow your head in prayer, when you underscore a Bible passage for further study, when you partake in the Lord's Supper, when your contribution is a given sacrifice, you are pledging allegiance to the Almighty God. And then worship. Worship makes a statement then. It declares the status of your connection to the invisible God of heaven, and it tells everybody whose side you're on. That's what it does. Your worship makes a statement to your family. It makes a statement to your friends. It makes a statement that your connection to God is not lost. And that there's no static between you and God. So when God calls you, there's no disconnection. There's no static there. By the time we get to the end of Psalm 13, I want you to hear this. It's incredible. We know it already, but I don't think we say it a lot, but I don't think we realize how serious it is, how truthful it is. By the time we get to the end of 13th Psalm, the connection is very clear. Verse number 5 and 6 reads like this. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise. Here it is. Listen to me. For he has been, amen? Who can say that? Oh, it just gives me the chills. For God has been good to me. And if God has been good to me, why am I disconnected? There's an old phrase that says, sometimes you bite the hand. Amen. That feeds you. David says, listen. God has been good to me. That's an amazing perspective. How about you this morning? Are you feeling disconnected from God? Are you feeling out of touch? God has been good. If you don't hear nothing else this morning, nothing else, understand that last phrase in Psalm 13. For God has been good to me. To me. Oh, that's amazing. And why do I deserve that? Do I deserve God's goodness? God is so merciful. And because of his mercy, he has been good to me. Now, maybe this invitation from God will allow you to connect to God or maybe even reconnect to God. It's up to you. You've got a choice you've got to make because you've heard the gospel. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by it's by grace you've been saved through faith. You don't have anything to do with it. It's not of your own. It is a gift of God. Will you accept that gift from God? You got to hear his word. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the word of God. Can't get hearing anywhere else except from God's word. You've got to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. 1 John 5, 10, 11. He that believeth on the Son of God had witness in himself. He that believeth not, God had made him a liar because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God had given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. We've got to believe that. We've got to repent of our sins. We run and tell everything else. Some things we don't even know anything about. We talking about it. Jesus said, you go and learn what it means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I didn't come here to call the righteous. I didn't come to call all these churchy people. I've come to call sinners to repentance. If you've done the smallest thing against the law of God, that means you are a sinner. We all sin and fall short of God's glory. You need to repent. You got to confess Christ. You got to tell somebody their intentions. About your commitment to God. You got to tell them, you got to speak that. He says, if you don't speak about me on earth, I'm not going to speak to you about my Father in heaven. Let's confess Christ with our mouths and with the way that we live. Let's be baptized in water for the remission of our sins. Galatians 3, 22 says this, but the scripture has concluded all under sin. Nobody's exempt. That the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to all them that believe. Verse number 26. For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You've connected to God. You do that in baptism. It washes your sins away because sin cannot be in the presence of God. Darkness runs away from light. Listen to me. I don't know how serious you are about God this morning. I don't know the reason that you're here this morning, but I do know that you have the opportunity to allow God to be good to you. And if he is good to you, then why don't you answer his invitation? Stop spurning every invitation from God. Stop sitting on your thumbs and allow Satan to make you resist God. We've got to resist Satan. We've got to come near to God. If we can help you connect to God, a God that's been good to you, why don't you come as we stand and sing this invitation song.
They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lived. Because he I can face tomorrow because he lived. All fear is gone because I know. He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives.
As we prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper, down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied, singing glory to his name, glory to his name, his precious name, singing glory to his name, his precious name. There to my heart was the blood applied, singing glory to his name.
We also had a part of our service, which is the Lord's Supper, in which we're instructed to come together on the first day of the week in remembrance of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 30. And the Bible reads, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread or drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drink this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the law. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of this bread and drink of this cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Let us pray. Father God, we come to you with bowed heads and humble hearts, Father God. We ask, and Father God, that you'll bless this bread that represents your son's body, and that you'll bless this cup that represents your son's shed blood. Father God, we just pray and ask that everyone that partake of this will do in a manner that is pleasing and acceptable in our sight. All these prayers we ask, in your darling son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We also, as a part of a service which is collection, in which we're instructed to give back a portion of what the Lord has blessed us with. You have the opportunity before or after service to place your contribution in a box up front. I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the church of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collection when I come. I'll also be reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning at verse 6. The Bible reads, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." Let us pray. Father God, we come to you at this time. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God, for those who gave, Father God, and those who had a desire to give but not able to at this present time, Father God. We just pray and ask that these funds be used for the upkeep and the outreach of your ministries, Father God. We pray that you'll be with the men handling these funds, that the things they do and say will be pleasing and acceptable in thy sight. All these prayers we ask, in your darling son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.